Let us seek to consider then, as the Lord may help us, words found in the chapter read, the book of Ecclesiastes, and chapter 3, at the first verse. Verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. We have over the past weeks, in the providence of the Lord, been considering the seasons and the times of prayer, having asked the Lord to teach us to pray, as they did of old. Lord, teach us to pray. We moved on to that question, Lord, teach us when to pray. Teach us what are the appropriate seasons and times of prayer. And we have been considering that topic. And now we come to this concluding part of this matter, the seasons and the times of prayer. And that from this text, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. We have spoken of that regular morning and evening prayer in secret and in family that ought to be with us. We have spoken of those exceptional times where we draw aside other than the ordinary morning and evening into a secret place to pour out our hearts before God. We have spoken of that season of prayer which we call ejaculatory prayer, where in the midst of our business there is a need for us to call upon the Lord because of some exceptional circumstances. And then we considered last week that kind of prayer which is called praying without ceasing. That prayerfulness which we are to be engaged in at all times, not necessarily the actual stated words of prayer, but to be prayerful. There should never be a moment but that the attitude and the spirit and the heart of prayer is with us. And oh, that the Lord would grant us more of that spiritual and heavenly mindedness which prays without ceasing. But now we come to this. And what is this? Well, it is a general underlying principle. And it is this, that all our praying should be seasonable and timely. Yes, we are speaking of the seasons of prayer, and we say now that prayer should be seasonable. It should be at its appropriate season. We have spoken of the times of prayer, and now from this text we say that prayer must be timely. There is a season in which certain prayer is to be made. And oh, we must seize those seasons and not let them slip. There are times where certain prayers ought to be made, a time to pray those prayers. Other times are not perhaps appropriate for some of those prayers, a time to pray a certain prayer, a time not to pray a certain prayer. Prayer must be seasonable. And oh, that we would have something of the mind of the Lord, to know His directing us to certain prayer at certain seasons and at certain times, that we would be praying at appropriate seasons and that we would be praying in good time, in good time. There is much to this. As we were singing in Psalm 32, it is a part of godliness to make prayer to the Lord at appropriate seasons and in good time. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. That acceptable time, a time when thou mayest be found. Timely prayer, seasonable prayer. And that is an element of godliness. The more we grow in godliness, the more seasonable and timely our prayer will be found to be. And so where may we go in order to see the greatest example of seasonable and timely prayer? Where will we go for the heights of godliness? Where will we go to see perfect godliness, but to the life of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He, as mediator, was given that promise. It was a promise that a certain prayer would be answered. Psalm 2. In Psalm 2 at verse 8, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And there the Father said to the Son, for the previous verse, the Lord, Jehovah, was saying to Christ, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And then ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. It is a promise given to the Son of God as the mediator of his people, to ask of the Father a people, even the very heathen, for his inheritance, even the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession. Oh, when did the Savior, when did the Son of God make that prayer? When did he ask of the Lord in accordance with the promise that was given to him? In Isaiah 49 and verse 8, we find out when he made that prayer. Thus saith the Lord, again it is Jehovah, the Father we should think of, speaking to the Son. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. And earlier in that chapter, the Lord was saying to him, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles or the heathen, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth, and so on. And so Christ was given the promise that this people would be given to him. But oh, even with regard to him, the Lord would yet be inquired of. Ask of me, the great intercessor, ask of me. And oh, when did the great intercessor make his request for this people? When did the Lord hear his prayer? In an acceptable time have I heard thee. Oh, to everything, to every prayer there is a season, even the prayer of the mediator to be given his people. And there is a time to every purpose under the heaven, even that purpose which is bound up with the mediator's being given a countless multitude into his hand to see his seed, to see the travail of his soul, and to be satisfied. But oh, the Lord Jesus Christ made many supplications in his life upon this earth. He made supplications with regard to his sin bearing. All his work was work as mediator, and in the essence of that was sin bearing. And so we read, as we have quoted before, Hebrews 5 verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, the Son of God in human nature was praying. How? With strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. But oh, if you ask the question, in what times and what seasons was Christ found making prayer to the Father? We find it was at seasonable and fit times. For in Psalm 69 and verse 13, the Savior in that psalm, David of course penned the psalm, but oh, there is more of Christ in it than there ever was of David. And in verse 13 there, the Savior, speaking of his sufferings, says these words, but as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. The Lord Jesus Christ himself made prayers to the Father in an acceptable time. As sin bearer, he who with those strong cryings and tears was making prayers and supplications even in the midst of his sufferings, in Gethsemane and on Calvary. Yes, Gethsemane's prayers and Calvary's prayers were made in an acceptable time. To everything there is a season. Even the prayers of the sin bearer, there was a season for them. And in that acceptable season, the sin bearer was found making those petitions with those strong cryings and those strong tears. Yes, there is a time to every purpose under the heaven. And from God's decree, his purpose, his heavenly purpose from all eternity, in that decree was the prayers that the Son of God in human nature would make as the sin bearer in Gethsemane and upon Calvary's cross. Acceptable prayers at acceptable seasons and times. So then, godliness is bound up in this matter of praying seasonably and timely. For he who is the embodiment of godliness, he who is the standard of godliness, he who is the fulfillment of godliness, he who is God, he in human nature prayed in seasonable and timely ways. And flowing from that, we may also say that this is a vital matter, to pray at appropriate seasons and times. You see, if the devil, the great enemy of our souls, cannot stop us from praying altogether, he will endeavor to bring us to pray at inappropriate seasons or at times that are too late. If he cannot stop us having in our lips prayers and the words that according to the matter of them are good, he will endeavor to ensure that we utter those matters at the wrong times and too late. Oh, to pray too late. It doesn't matter how good the prayer is. If it is too late, it is vital that it be not too late. Satan would be having us at all times to be praying inappropriately to the season in which we're in, or just to delay. Oh, put off prayer. Do not pray today. Leave till tomorrow. Pray tomorrow. And then Satan is winning his battle every time we put off prayer like that. Now, to address this matter to three categories of persons. First of all, to the unconverted. To the unconverted, and their great danger is to pray too late. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. To everything, unbeliever, there is a season which is allotted to you, in which you are called upon to cry unto the Lord for mercy, to say, "Be merciful unto me, a sinner." To cry to him to reveal Christ to your soul. There is a season allotted for that. And woe be unto you if you come to the end of that season and that real prayer has not gone to the Lord from your heart. There is a time to every purpose under the heaven. And oh, if you purpose to be saved, oh, there is a time for you to pray. And beware of the devil. It will be setting you to praying too late. And the devil only has to bring you to pray one moment, the slightest split of a second too late, and he has you, and hell will have you for all eternity. Oh, what there is in this, praying seasonably, praying timely, before it is too late. The scripture, the word of God says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And without going into it this time, the fact that it is the duty and the unconverted are indeed called upon to pray, that being a different subject. There it is plain, call ye upon him while he is near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There is obviously a season in which the Lord may be so sought as to be found. There is a time during which he is near. But these seasons and times are going to come to an end. And then he will no longer be found and no longer be near. And then it will be too late. How many souls has Satan taken off to hell just by whispering in their ear, as Satan whispers in one ear, and apathy and indifference whisper in their other ear, "Oh, not today, tomorrow, leave it. The Lord will still be able to be found tomorrow. He will still be near tomorrow, surely." How many have been carted off to hell with those deceptions? Oh, that it would not happen to any here. Does the word of God likewise not say upon this same matter, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." When is the accepted time? When is the day of salvation? When is the accepted time for the prayer of the poor lost sinner to be praying to the Lord for saving grace? That his eyes would be opened to behold Christ now. But oh, the devil and the deceitful heart will offer to the sinner any time, just any season, any time, as long as it is not now. Any moment, as long as it is not this moment. Any day, provided it is not today. Maybe a moment very near. It may be you're promising yourself a day not long off. But the day tomorrow, no one is ever saved on a day called tomorrow. That season never comes. For when tomorrow comes, it is called today. And oh, if you are putting it off today, because today is called today, when tomorrow becomes that by that name, today, for the same reasons, are you not going to put it off? Oh, you have many things on your mind, and oh, it can't be done just now. Oh dear, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. If you are going to be saved at all, unbeliever, it will have to be on a day called today. It will have to be at a time called now. And oh, it is a fearful thing to keep putting today off and now off. You can only say no to today so many times. You can only say no to now so many times. And then they run out. Fearfully, they run out and are no more. Remember the foolish virgins. Oh, we may apply their words, if not the whole meaning of the parable in this matter. They had a good prayer when they came and said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." What a good prayer it was. What an earnest prayer it was. "Lord, Lord, open to us. Open to us the door into heaven. Oh, that we might sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That we might be with thee in heaven forever and ever. That we might not be shut out of heaven." Oh, it was a good prayer. But it was too late. The door was shut. He had already gone into the marriage. And that is why he said to them. He answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." If only they had been praying that prayer before, during the season where such things were allotted, during that time where the purposes of gathering a people into the kingdom were allotted. If only they had prayed, "Lord, Lord, open to us then. Open to us the riches of thy grace. Open to us the door into the kingdom of grace." But here were souls that wanted to go straight into the kingdom of glory. They wanted to go into the door, into the kingdom of glory. But the only way to that kingdom is through the kingdom of grace here. To open the door through faith here. "Lord, Lord, open to me now." Oh, will you not pray that? Today, open to me now. To every prayer there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Remember what was said of Jerusalem. What had Jerusalem done? Oh, Jerusalem, sinful Jerusalem, but many like you have done the same. The Saviour said, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. This day, this thy day. He calls it later the time of their visitation. Thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Unbeliever, under the preaching of the word, this is the time of thy visitation. The Lord is visiting you. He is visiting you. And this is your season to cry unto him for mercy. This is your time where this purpose comes to you. And will you squander and squander and squander all these opportunities? Even Manasseh didn't squander all these opportunities. But we find him praying in the end, humbling himself and entreating the Lord to have mercy upon him. And oh, that ungodly man yet found grace to make a godly prayer in due time and was saved. Oh, will you not come in? Will you not come Manasseh's way, crying to the Lord for mercy for you? We've addressed then the unconverted. Oh, is there not a season and a time for the unconverted to pray in? But then we must address those that profess the name of Christ, either outwardly or promise themselves that they are Christ's, or those that hope they have a good hope and think they are Christ's. These must also be addressed. For to them there is a season and a time for a certain kind of prayer. What kind of prayer is this? For this group, this is the prayer. Lord, do thou help me to make my calling and election sure. Do thou give me assurance that I am truly thine. Do thou undeceive me if I am deceiving myself. Oh, that I might know for a certainty whether I am or whether I am not Christ's indeed. Such should be the prayer. A prayer for true grace. Lord, give me true grace. Deliver me from being satisfied with anything less than true grace. Grace which would be the very spot of thy children. Oh Lord, nothing less than that. That soul that is very easily satisfied with thinking they have grace should take note of this. There is a season to pray for true grace. There is a time where this purpose should be found, of asking the Lord to give true grace indeed. It will be something of a fear perhaps with such. Have I really true grace? To go back to those five foolish virgins. They did not have true grace. Yet again, with them, what could be said of them? They had a good prayer again. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, it was not good that they addressed it to the wise virgins. We are not to address prayers to any but the Lord himself. But all what they were actually asking for was a good prayer. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The oil there is representing grace, true grace. Oh, it's easy to have a lamp of profession. It's easy to show ourselves outwardly as the people of God. But nothing but the omnipotent and sovereign grace of God and power of God will ever bring us to have oil in our lamps. That is what man cannot do himself. And they had a good prayer, did they not, for this oil? But again, what was wrong with their prayer? It was unseasonable. It was untimely. It was too late. He was already coming. It was too late. They arose and trimmed their lamps, but it was too late. What was in the lamp then was the way the Lord would find them. And those that had no oil, they had no true grace. If only earlier, instead of slumbering and sleeping while the bridegroom tarried, if only they had taken oil with them. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But the foolish took lamps and took no oil. If only they had prayed to the Lord, give me true grace, give me that oil, which will light my candle so that it may shine full bright. If only they had done that in good time, they would not have found themselves shut out at the end of time. Too late, too late. They were praying to the wise virgins. Well, the wise virgins could not give them of their grace. They prayed, did they not, to the bridegroom, Christ himself. But though Christ could have given them true grace before, they now came so late that there was no giving of true grace even from Christ at that point. So then this, the second category of persons, all that promise themselves a good hope for eternity. Have we been diligent at this matter? Lord, nothing but true grace. Oh, I would rather that thou would show me that I have nothing if I have nothing, than go on being deceived if I am deceiving myself. Oh, that all would be open to be honest before the Lord. Lord, show me. Where do I stand? Thirdly now, in this seasonable and timely prayer, we should address the true people of God. The true people of God, included, of course, in our second category. Those that have a true hope indeed, that examine their hope. And when the Lord is pleased, have that hope assured to them infallibly by the work of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with their spirits that they are the children of God. God's people then. Was it not said of the children of Issachar of old that they were exceptional for this reason, that there were certain men in their midst, and they are exceptional because, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, they were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. They had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And we who profess the name of the Lord ought to seek his grace, that he would give us wisdom, that we might have understanding of our times, that we might have understanding of times and seasons, to know not only what Israel and ourselves ought to do, but also what we ought to pray. That we might have understanding of the times to know what seasonable and timely prayers the Lord in his providence is calling us to at such a time as this. Different seasons and different times call for different kinds of prayer. Some kinds of prayer are to be continual. They are always to be found with us. But other prayers, especially a prayer in detail, there are appropriate seasons. There are particular times for them. And times and seasons quickly pass. The wheel of time runs swiftly. And oh, if we do not seize our opportunities as they come in the appropriate season and time, that season and time will all be gone into past time and it will never come back. And if we did not take our opportunity to pray, if we did not understand that time, what we ought to have prayed then, we'll never have another opportunity once that time and season is gone. So what need then to discern the times, the seasons, to know what we ought to pray? For to every prayer, every kind of prayer, there is a season. There's a time to every purpose that the Lord would be pleased to grant in prayer under the heaven. The Lord was rebuking those, was he not, that they could discern the signs in the heavens. The sky, if it was red in the evening, they knew it would be a fine day the next day. If it was red and lowering in the morning, they knew it would be an ill day, weather-wise. They could discern the signs and the times of the weather. But oh, they could not judge righteous judgment when it came to spiritual things. They could not begin to understand times and seasons spiritually. And it is only grace that will enable us to something of this understanding. What are the signs that the Lord is calling us to any particular kind of prayer? One of them is times of affliction. Times of affliction. James there, the last chapter. And verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? let him pray. Is any among you afflicted? Notice, affliction, that time, that season, let him pray. That is a season and a time in which the Lord is calling us to pray. In the midst of affliction, whether it be bodily sickness or troubles of any kind, afflictions, that is a time the Lord is calling us to pray. It is a time of special opportunity to pray. When we're in the midst of afflictions and troubles, that is the time to pray for recovery from sickness, for deliverance out of trouble. It is a time to pray for the grace of submission to His will. When all is going well with us, that is not the time, in one sense, to be praying for the grace of submission. When all is well with us, but it's when providence seems to turn against us, then it is a seasonable and a timely prayer. Lord, give me the grace of submission, that even when thou art seeming to smite me, I may yet love thee, I may yet obey thee, I may yet walk as a child of God and not depart from thee. The time of affliction is a seasonable and opportune time for prayer, because it is a time where many have known special nearness to the Lord. Here is a special opportunity to be alone with the Lord. Such times often of affliction bodily are times where we are alone more. And if health permits enough to pray, it is a time of opportunity to pray. The season and the time of affliction calls us to seasonable and timely prayer. Some, they never pray except when they're in affliction or trouble. That is not good. That is a mark of hypocrisy. If only trouble can bring us to pray. But oh, neither would it be good if when in affliction and trouble we were not found praying in some different sense to our ordinary prayer. Affliction then is one sign calling us to this kind of prayer. Secondly, a time of special responsibility, that calls us to seasonable, timely prayer. To illustrate what is meant, remember Esther, the queen there. And she was the queen at a very important time for the Jews, because the king, a decree had gone forth from the king that all the Jews would be massacred, that all the Jews would be killed. And what did Mordecai say to Esther? He was encouraging her to engage in her responsibility, to perform her duty. She had a special responsibility. She was near the king. And if anyone was going to make a plea on behalf of the Jews, it was going to have to be Esther. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther 4, verse 14. Esther, if you keep silence at this time, the Jews will still be delivered. The Lord will deliver them from another way. But you and your family, there will be a price to pay. And Esther, who knows? Who knows, but you came to the kingdom precisely for this time and this season, that you might make intercession to the king, and the king might grant a release, he might turn back the decree, and the Jews might be saved on the basis of your prayers to him. And oh, where there are times, surely there are, where with one and another of the Lord's people, they are found in a position of special responsibility. It is given to them, something is given to them, some knowledge of perhaps someone else's case and difficulty. Someone has divulged a secret to them, and they know the trouble that another has. That is a time and a season for that child of God to be engaged in prayer for that other person. Who knows whether they are not there for that very reason, that they would make the prayer. If something not ordinarily known to others, if we see some danger to another believer or to some person or to the cause, and perhaps others are not seeing it, special responsibility is laid upon us to be making a prayer in that season, in that time. If we do not make the prayer, who will? If Esther did not make the prayer to the king, who was going to? And oh, there may be times where their special responsibility comes upon us and we are to be up and doing in the way of prayer, crying to the Lord. The responsibility is upon us and we are to be drawing near to Him, to the King of Kings, and making intercession. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Just one other sign which calls us to special prayer, and it's from Psalm 32, which we have been singing and already mentioned. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Verse 6. What was he speaking of before? Acknowledging his sin unto the Lord, and not hiding his iniquity, confessing his transgressions unto the Lord. Times of special conviction of sin are loud calls from heaven to make special seasonable prayer to the Lord. And oh, do not let them pass by. When conscience is being pricked with regard to sin, quickly seek opportunity soon. Make timely application to the Lord for forgiveness. Do not let that time of conviction pass by without making supplication to the Lord and seeking assurance of his blood sprinkled upon your conscience. Because to fail to seize that opportunity is a little hardening of the conscience. And to do it again is hardening of the conscience more. And to do it over and over, to let it become a habit, when you know you have done wrong and the conviction is there, but you do not go to the Lord and do not go to him quickly, the hardness, the heart, as it were, grows more and more callous and harder to penetrate. Oh, that we would be delivered from hard hearts, but make our prayer to the Lord seasonably when the conviction of sin is upon us, and when this time to every purpose, and the purpose to which we are called at those times, is this purpose, to make confession to him. Verse 12 of this chapter, verse 11 rather, of this chapter, begins, he that is God hath made everything beautiful in his time. And oh, that he would give us grace, that he himself would make our prayers in his sight beautiful in their time. For to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. May he be pleased to bless his word.